Well, we pray that the Lord would bless this morning and give us something for our souls. We've been studying for quite some time about building a spiritual house. And there's a lot in the Bible about it, and we could go on and on, which we don't plan to do. But I was thinking this morning, we've went all the way from the starting of the idea or the decision, clear through the building of it, to what it's furnished with. And you know, when we have our spiritual house built, we are still going to be in life, and it's going to prepare us for life. I was thinking about a scripture in Isaiah 59 and 19, and it says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." You know, our spiritual house and us putting the right building quality, building products into our home and building it by the plan and all of those things does not insulate us against the flood. There will come, this scripture I notice says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. It doesn't say if the enemy, it does not say if the enemy comes in like a flood. It says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now this morning, I just want us to think a little bit about our spiritual house. We have spent much time thinking about, studying about the building of the house, what we put into it, how important the things are, the walls, how important the furnishings are, how important it is for it to be filled with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord, how important it is for there to be love in that home. But I will assure you this morning, no matter how we build our home, it will be tested. The enemy will come against that home, that spiritual house that we have, and test what we are made out of. We will find that there will be a flood, and it will threaten to move us off of our foundation. It will threaten to tear our house down. And it will threaten those things. So this morning, I just ask the Lord to give us some things to help us now through life in this place that God has caused us to have this morning. I was thinking about floods. I don't know, but I would say most of you have been around a flood. You've lived, a lot of you here in Guthrie. You know a little about it. Those of you that we used to worship on the west side know a lot about floods. I can remember when it would be raining and there would be all that comes, the storm, the terrible things, and then we would find out there was a place out here east of town, I believe on Ernest Davis' property or somewhere around that area, where they would go and they would say, "It's up this high. That means it's going to be so high in the chapel at Guthrie." And so we would have water up several feet high sometimes in the chapel. It just messed everything up. Thankfully, the building was built well that it didn't just wash off its foundation. But I will tell you, the last one that came, I remember all of our, I don't know if all of them, but most of our benches, if I remember right, washed down the river. We had the doors locked. We had everything shut up. And believe me, we worked hard to make sure everything was the way it should be when we could. But the flood came, and it washed the doors open and washed things down. And that was the last. We never went back. We just moved to higher ground. But you know, this morning, the scripture tells us that there will be floods that come against our spiritual house in our life. We have to be prepared for that. The Lord tells us a little about preparing for those floods and about being ready for that. How many of us remember a few months ago when Louisiana Chapel flooded? And what was it, 2 years ago maybe or so, that they had not had a flood up in their chapel in over like 30 years or so. And it came along and it just devastated the place. It devastated it. We lots of men and ladies met down there, many people, and worked to rebuild what the floods tore up and took away. And so this morning, a flood is a devastating thing. And then we heard a few months ago, here the waters were again, and they sent us pictures, and you could see how the water, I believe it was over the road, and all of these things, and it was in the chapel again. Floods will come, fires come, and it will test what we are made out of. It will test whether we are solidly put on the foundation, and it will come. It will come. So we want to recognize that. We want to be sure that our the things that we have studied the last weeks and quite a few weeks, we want to be sure that we put ourselves in that place that it won't wash away, in a place that it won't burn down this morning. I was thinking about the scripture that we read, and it says the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard, and I looked that up. And the Strong's of that Greek word, or that Hebrew word, says causatively chase. It has a number of definitions. To make to flee away, put to flight, lift up a standard. A standard, Webster's tell us, is an ensign of war. A staff with a flag or colors. It's something where you rally around. It's something where it stands for the power that's behind it. A flag is nothing. It's a piece of cloth or whatever. But I will tell you, the power that stands behind that flag tells who it's from. And when it flies certain colors and flies certain ways, there's great fear with that flag. This is the flag of the United States. Do you know there's great power behind that? It's not the flag, but it's what it stands for. And you know, the Lord said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord would lift up a standard against him. Now that standard, that flag, that one, the very name of the Spirit of God, do you know what that does? All that God is behind that, isn't it? And so we find great power there. We find that there is no enemy that even has even the least ability in the presence of God. There is no enemy that can even give God a run for things. And so he said, I'll lift up a standard against him. And this morning I want us to think a little bit about our life, because we will be tested and we will be tried. And the Lord Jesus himself told us some things about getting our house ready for that time when the flood would come. So I thought about the song. It says, "It is well with my soul." If I remember correctly, I think that song was written, was it not after the Chicago fire, I believe? And wasn't that right? And then the man that wrote this song not only lost what he had in the fire, but his family was on the Titanic. Is that right too? No, I've got that wrong. Okay. Well, I should have looked that up. Didn't even think about it till just now. They were on a ship and his wife and children perished. Okay. Just the children. Okay, however that is. But you know what? He faced some things. But you know where his faith was? It was settled. And he wrote the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." In spite of all that came his way, in spite of all that would shake a person down to their foundations and their faith in God, he still wrote this song, this gem that we have today, that says here, "Whatever, when peace like a river attendeth my way, When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say. What a treasure we have in this, folks. This was from someone that had their foundation on something besides the things, the relationships, all the things that they had it on the Lord. And we see how this Mr. Spafford wrote, "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, maybe you don't feel like there's a trial on the horizon. But I want to assure you there's going to be sometime. And we're going to need something more than just an idea that I want to serve God. Our spiritual building is going to have to be built in a way that will stand that this morning. And we can. And the Lord tells us a little about it. It says, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. And that's where his faith was, that the Lord did that. That's where his experience in life was. And so come what may, the worst things the devil could put to him, didn't Job endure the same kinds of things? The loss of all things that he had practically, and even the loss of the support of his wife to keep living for God. And what he found was God was still there. And he was still able. And we have the whole book of Job written from that kind of life. Verse 6 of that song says, "And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The cloud shall be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." What a blessing this morning. It is well with my soul. Folks, I hope we get a vision. Every one of us. I know many of us have that vision. I hope every one of us get a hold of that vision. It is well with my soul. There's troubles that are going to come. There's sorrows. There's fears. There's financial troubles that come. The wealthiest people in the world have landed up in great financial trouble at times. If that is our foundation, if those things move, we'll be moved with them, away from the Lord. If the Lord is our foundation, then come what may, the treasure we have is in the Lord this morning. Spiritual troubles. You're going to have spiritual battles in life. We're going to have health problems sometimes. Most people have some serious health problems in their life. Sicknesses and things like that. These things can come in like a flood, folks. I will tell you, one day can be very well. And during a 5-minute period of that day, our whole life can change. It can change dramatically. Dramatically in 5 minutes. I've seen it happen many times. This morning, if we can build in such a way, and we've talked about it for weeks now, if we can build in such a way that our faith, our confidence, our life is such that it won't be moved, do you know those things can come and they won't move us this morning? Those things can come and they will not move us. I can say that with assurance because I've seen it done. I've seen and I've got the promise of the Lord. I want to look over here at Matthew 7 and 24 and take up where Rosie left off in Sunday school this morning. We combined the classes and she stopped right where I want to begin. Maybe they read on part of it, but in verse 24, we read this. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," Matthew 7, "therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came." Now, this is the wise man. This is not the foolish man. This is not the sinner. This is the wise man. This is the one that took God's way. And Jesus said that whoever hears what I say, whoever hears my commandments, the sayings that I give, and does them, I want to tell you who he's like. He's like a man that built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That was what Jesus told us this morning. I want to challenge us in our lives that we hear the sayings of Jesus, because the scriptures make it quite plain that the floods will come in more than one place. The fire will come, and it will devour those things that are not gold, those things that are not of precious value this morning. And so those rains are going to come. The winds are going to blow. Sometimes those winds are winds of false doctrine. Sometimes those winds are bad spirits that come along. And the thing, everything's howling around us. The rain is pounding. The sky seems to be dark to the point you can't see anything. And believe me, it's hard to discern at that time. The lights go out. The other day, the lights went out at our place for, an hour or two or three. And it was completely dark except for a candle that we lit and a little flashlight that we had. Everything was dark. Do you know that at that time, it's easy for us to lose our way? That's one of those floods that come. It says that the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. I will challenge us this morning that if we take the sayings of Jesus, and we're just kind of doing a recap of the whole thing, if we take the sayings of Jesus and build upon them, build our life on those sayings, do you know that all of us know that the Lord wants us to walk with Him? Do we all know that? I hope we all do. The Lord wants you and me and all of us to walk with Him this morning. Do you know if we run off and leave Him, we won't have any strength to stand when the floods come? We won't have any, and we think maybe that, well, this is just small stuff every day. Folks, our everyday walk with God is very important. Listening to the pricks of the Lord, when He pricks us, you know, I really am not pleased with that. But see, He don't only prick us that way. He says, He nudges us. You know, somebody needs to pray. You know what? Somebody needs to sing a song. And He pricks us. Do you know that those things are all part of living for the Lord? And when we follow the Lord in that way, it steels us against the enemy. It really does. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's telling us that whoever hears the sayings of mine, and they're diligent, they're careful. I want to tell you what I'm going to do, Jesus says. I'm going to lift up a standard against the enemy. Now that's what the Old Testament said. But we find here that Jesus tells us that the one that keeps His sayings, that lives carefully and diligently day by day, when the floods come, they're not going to overthrow us. How can we be sure of that? How can we know I'm not going to get moved? I've lived all most of my life for the Lord as closely as I know how. And yet I see people sometimes older than I, and they're moved. And I think, Lord, what is going to keep me from being moved? I will tell you what it makes me do. Day by day, it makes me want to be really diligent, because I realize I can be moved too. We can all be moved. Folks, as we follow the Lord, do you know what it does? It steels us against the floods. It steels us against the fire that would destroy our faith and our confidence in God, our resolve to live for God like He wants us to. And so this morning, let's read on here. The rain came, descended, the floods came, The winds blew, they beat on the house, and it didn't fall. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Now, folks, we can just be negligent. It doesn't mean we're wicked in our heart that we just want evil things. We can be negligent. And I've seen this kind of things. And maybe sometimes it's the mercy of the Lord that lets us know, hey, where's your foundation at? And things come along. But here we see that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So this morning, I just want to challenge us. We don't have to fall. Our house doesn't have to fall. It doesn't. But do you know what it's dependent on? It's dependent on our everyday walk with the Lord. That's what it's dependent on. Because it's not whether we have it so settled in our mind. It's not that we've got our hearts so settled that I don't care what comes. We're no match for the floods. We're no match. You ever tried to stand in a fast, swift-moving stream? Not going to happen. It'll wash you downstream before you can stand for a bit. You get out there where it's deep enough and you're gone. That's all there is to it. Do you know this morning, the Lord, He's told us here that we can stand. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. And He lifts that standard up. I want to look over here in 1 Corinthians 3 and 10. Now we've read this verse before. I want to go on now. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be declared. There will be a day, even if it's at the end of the way, there will be a day that declares what we built our house, our spiritual house, out of. And so he says, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Do you know this morning, the fire is going to declare our life? And it talked about different building materials here. It talked about hay and wood and stubble. And it talked about gold. And it talked about precious stones and silver. Tell me of those things, what would stand a fire? Would gold stand a fire? You could burn it all you want. It's only going to be the purer when you get done. Same with silver. Only the dross will be consumed. Only the dross will come to the top. But do you know that wood and hay and stubble, they'll be burned up? And we put into our lives things. Do we put into them the things of great spiritual value? Are we diligently seeking out to put into our life those things that can stand the fire of God's, the fire that He allows, the fire that sometimes comes our way and will and does this morning? I want to look over in 1 Peter 1 and 6 and 7. It says here that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried. You know what? I want to start at verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It says, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold, a lot of temptations, a lot of things. Now, the scriptures don't bear out that every day we're under this kind of thing. It says the floods will come, the fire will come. And so we find that there are times in our life, sometimes extended times, where we are under the fire. Where he says here, ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Do you know that that is made, it says, that the trial of your faith might be, though it be tried, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ? So many times, folks, we build into our faith. We build in different ways. We can feel like, if I'm God's, then everything's good's going to come my way all the time. And if anything bad comes my way, why? Well, you know, that's not the way to think, is it? The scriptures tell us that it is necessary at times for things to come our way that it might purify our faith, that we can believe in God no matter what comes our way, whether it's persecution, belittling, false accusations, whether it's troubles, temptations, whatever it is, the Lord wants us to be able to stand and live for Him. And so we have to have our faith purified. He allows these things to come many times. And we find that there is purpose in it. It does something for us sometimes that nothing else can. And we find that over in Romans 5. I may read that right quick. Romans 5 and 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, it works experience, doesn't it? And experience works hope. We know that the Lord comes through. We know that He will help us, and so we don't jump ship when things get tough. And so the Lord lets things come our way. And folks, thank God He does, because it purifies our faith. We can reach heaven because He allows some of those things sometimes. So we don't want to look at things as though it's more than we can bear. The Lord will take us through, and He'll lift up a standard and won't let the devil do more than what He will let him do. In Isaiah 43, listen to the promises here of God, verse 1 and 2 of Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And that's the promise of the Lord, that when we do pass through the waters, as we will, when we do pass through the flames, and we will, He said that the flame would not kindle on us. It's not going to burn us up in our spiritual life. If our faith is founded on gold, if we have built gold into our life and silver and costly things, and not instead put stubble in there and wood, things that burn, things that we like but they burn, things we trust in. In Psalms 56 and 1, we find David. David went through a lot of things. It says, be merciful unto me, O God, For man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. This was one of God's people. This was an example for us. And David said, be merciful to me, O God. Man would just swallow me up. He's fighting daily. He oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. And then he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Do you know what he could have said? When they do that, I'm calling my army out, and I'm going to take care of them. I've got more than they do, most likely, and I've fought a lot of battles. I can beat them. You know, he could have trusted in that. But would God have fought for him? Would he have been able to make it and receive the good that made him the ruler that he was? It came from those struggles, those troubles. A lot of his gold came. I know he had a heart to serve God. That's what we have to give the Lord, and he has to help us to give him that. But I will tell you, we give that to the Lord, and the Lord begins to work in our life. And he let Saul get after David for all those years and hunt him. God was putting gold in David's life. He gave David the chance. You can run your sword through this man. And his armor bearer wanted to. Here's Saul, he's asleep, and we can take him out. David was like, no, he's the anointed. The Lord put him in there, and he can take him out. That was his idea this morning. Do you know this morning, the Lord wants to put gold in our lives today. Something that the trials of life cannot burn out. It'll only become more pure. David had gold he gave to the Lord. David messed up a few times. But I will tell you, largely David followed God with his whole heart. And we see how that even when he did mess up, we see him coming back. You can read that in Psalms, and you can hear his plea unto God this morning. I want us to think for a minute about a man named Hezekiah. And I know we've heard of him, we've read of him, we all know him. Maybe we'll read a little bit of that in 2 Kings 18. We find Hezekiah as a young fella. He began to be king. I believe he was 25, it says. Hezekiah 18 and 1. It says, now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshi, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. Now this was where Hezekiah, this was his younger days as a king. Do you know that he clave unto the Lord? That was his foundation. That was his life. I want to encourage us this morning to cleave to the Lord. We find that didn't stop the floods from coming against him. We find in verse 19 and 20, the same chapter, it says, and Rabshakeh said unto them, speak now ye now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for the war. Now in whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? You know, the king of Assyria came down, and he came in like a flood upon Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, I don't think he had a chance. in this kind of a battle. Except that he had built his relationship on the Lord. And he had his life, it says, clave to the Lord. He had searched after God with all his heart. And do you know that when this time came, we find him, the great king of Assyria, he came in and we find that he took a bunch of the cities of Judah, and then he came right up to Jerusalem, to the wall, and began to speak to the people and caused great fear and all of those things. And then they wrote a letter to Hezekiah, and we're going to take you over, and who then is going that you trust in? How are you going to make it? You know Satan will do that to you and me. Our time will come, folks. The devil's going to come to you and me, and he's going to howl at us and tell us there isn't any way. But I'll tell you what God did for him. That king, the Lord, through Isaiah the prophet, prophesied, I'm going to put my hook in his nose, and I'll lead him back to his own land. And do you know that they woke up in the morning, and there was 185,000. 185,000 of their people, their soldiers, were dead. It just happened in the night. Can you imagine that happening? I can. I will tell you why. Because Hezekiah had built into his life things of pure gold. He had built from the time he was young. He got the kingship at 25. This was 14 years later. And all that time, Hezekiah had been building his life earnestly, fervently, trying to set in place in the kingdom exactly what God wanted. And when the time came that it was impossible, there wasn't any way for Hezekiah to win this. What was he going to do against this great king of Assyria? He already came in, took all the cities of Judah, a bunch of them it says, and now he's up to Jerusalem. We're going to take you all the way down. Well, I will tell you, in the morning, when there was 185,000 of his people dead, he went back the way he came, on his own. And Hezekiah didn't even have to fight him. He just got the spoil. But I will tell you, he went back and his own sons killed him where he came from. And I just want to encourage us this morning. David said another place, he said, verse chapter 27 of Isaiah, of Psalms in verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. This is what David said. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David's hope was all in the Lord. The floods are going to come and the fires. I just want us to think a little bit this morning. We're have just a few more words here. You know, our feelings can run pretty low when the great king of Assyria comes up and howls in our face and says, and who are you? You see all these others? You see how I've took them down? You see what's happened to them and you think you can make it? Come on, just give up the fight. Do you know that the devil will do that? Has he ever done that to any of you? Yeah, he has to me. I will tell you that. But I want to say something. He was speaking to a man that had founded his life on God, and his hope wasn't in himself. And so we find that God fought for him, and he lifted up a standard against the enemy, though the enemy was right at the gate, though the enemy had already caused damage in the land, and though he was there to take over, and there was no power to keep him from it, really, in the end. He had trusted in God. I just want to encourage us this morning. Feelings may land low. David said, wait on the Lord. He said, wait. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Don't jump the gun. Don't run. Don't tuck it in and get out of there. Don't throw the walls down and say, okay, I know I can never make it. David says, wait. And then he says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Be of good courage. He's going to strengthen your heart. David found that God fought his battles. He went up against a giant. And how did that happen? How was he able to take this giant down? And he was but a youth and a small young man, it sounded like, kind of. He wasn't some big fellow that they had confidence in. His brothers, who are you? Who do you think you are? I will tell you who David was. He was a man that had learned to hear the voice of God and follow him. Accusations and fears. Do you know the devil will come in like a flood with accusations sometimes? He will. Maybe you'll make a little mistake. Maybe you'll do something that you wished you hadn't have done. Maybe you'll say something in a way you wished you hadn't have. And I'll tell you what the devil will come in and say. He'll say, there's no use for you. You just need to give up the fight. Don't you see? You're not even saved. You ever had the devil come in and try to accuse you like that? He will do that, won't he? You better believe it, he will. Because we're in a war, folks. Our house has to stand. The secret to that is serve the Lord faithfully in the small things and the large things of our life. And when that time comes, he will lift up a standard for us. Our house don't have to fall. Our house can stand clear through eternity. I have perfect confidence that that can happen and will happen if we stay with the Lord. But our feelings will run real low at times. The accusations will be great at times. The enemy will make sure that he accused Jesus, if thou be the Son of God. If you're the Son of God. You know what that was? At Jesus' lowest time in his life. He accused him, if you are. You're not. You're not the Son of God. If you are, make this stone turn into bread. And so we see fears. Fears will come in like a flood sometimes. You ever had fear like a flood? I have at times. We don't live in fear all the time. And thank God, we have a wonderful life. But I will tell you this. There are times that I've seen fear like a flood. And the scripture says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in him. That's where we go. That's where we run in our times. Anger. Is it true that anger can come to you or me? Is it? You ever been angry? Sure you have. We've been angry sometimes. The scripture says, be angry and sin not. Don't let it move you off your foundation. Don't let it move you from where you are. Don't be angry and sin. Do you know this morning, the way we stand in those times is not because we are such powerful individuals. It is because before that time, we have been living for God diligently and faithfully. We've been feeding from his word. We've been carefully having prayer daily. We've been touching the Lord. We've been faithful to do the things God wants us to do, to be in the places he wanted us to be, to do the work that he wanted us to do. And do you know when we are in that place, God will fight our battles. That's not something we can't do. Folks, every one of us can do it. How about trouble? You ever had trouble come? Great trouble. What's going to happen now? Trouble. Sorrows. Things happen all of a sudden. And what do we do? Bad news. Your greatest weaknesses. Temptations. Fighting with those things. Brother Stanley used to say often, everyone has a besetting sin. That if they do not keep close to the Lord, they can fall back into that. He taught us that many times. I will tell you, you will face that giant. Will you face it with grace? The Lord promised us grace. He promised us to lift up a standard against the enemy so that it can't overcome us. So that we can live all the days of our life for the Lord and meet him in peace one day. I believe God wants us to be like that. When our extremity is reached, folks, that's where we find the Lord. I want to read a little more. Psalms 37 and 5. Here's another one. I believe this is from David. it does say a Psalm of David, 37 and 5 to 11, it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Folks, these are the promises we have as the people of God. These promises are not to the one that does not build his life on the sayings of Jesus Christ. He plainly tells us that in Matthew the 7th chapter. He plainly tells us these promises are to those that live for him and keep his sayings in their life. He will then lift up a standard. "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him." David was giving us some real nuggets of truth. He had been through a lot of battles. He had seen the enemy come in like a flood. David experienced what it was for his son to rise up against him to kill him and try to take the kingdom from him. David experienced many things. He gave us a lot he left in his writings, didn't he? He says, "Rest in the Lord and wait. Wait patiently for him. Wait for the Lord. You can't make the flood go away on your own. Wait for the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Wait for him. He'll help you." And David experienced that. He said, "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." In other words, inherit the promises of God. That's what that means. They shall inherit the promises of God. And he says here, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be." David experienced this. He saw wickedness looming in its great power. "I'm going to overthrow you as king. We're going to take your life." And it looked like they had much more power than he did at times. But he said, "Evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." And so this morning, just want to leave those few thoughts, maybe just a few more here this morning. Want to leave that with us this morning. Folks, the Lord has given us the promises of the kingdom. He wants you and I to build a house, a structure that glorifies God, that's filled with the presence of God, that's full of the good things, that's furnished with the good things God gives. And then he wants it to stand. He wants it to stand to eternity. He wants our spiritual house, our life, our experience with God, to make it all the way till we meet Jesus Christ in peace. And the Lord wants that this morning. Oh, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Delight yourself in the Lord. And find the abundance of peace that he gives. We don't face floods every day. We don't face fires every day, but I will tell you, they'll take away what you do have. You won't have anything left to face the next day with. They'll burn the things down. The fire will come and burn it down if it's built of our own doing, if it's not built upon the sayings, upon the things of the Lord. And so we want to remember, sometimes the battle is overwhelming. Sometimes it seems great. But those that have been before us face the same things. Moses faced it. All those people, all those Egyptians coming up there against them. And what are they going to do? With no place to go, folks, the Lord took them through. I want to read one more scripture. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above you, that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Do you know that he said that all those temptations are common to man? But he said God is faithful, and he won't let you suffer more than you're able to bear. That means that standard comes up. That power of God comes up in our life, and he won't give us more than we can bear. So I want to encourage us today, when you feel like you're losing the battle, wait, stand still, trust in the Lord with all your heart, commit your way to the Lord, and see the salvation of the Lord. You pray for us.